Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Forgive us those who forgive us our trespasses, Father, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, we pray for your Spirit. Fill us, Lord, I pray. Give us wisdom. We thank you again for all that you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to extend the greetings to you this morning. Just thinking about some of the things that were said this morning, young people. How Stephen responded to not just forgiving, but asking the Lord to pardon. It's one thing for us to... I've heard people say, well, the Lord will give them their due. Or... I've even seen people just waiting for God to seek His vengeance, but that is not the Spirit of the Lord in man, in disciples. It's one thing to forgive, and then another thing to say, Lord, forgive them, and to really take it to its depths. It's a real blessing. And another thing that... Just about our pride. Just we become so consumed with our own thoughts and how we have things figured out, and that goes a little with what I wanted to talk about this morning. There's a verse in the Old Testament, a prophecy. It says that in the last days knowledge will be increased. And I've just been thinking about that. In Hosea, in one of the places, it says that people will be going to and fro, looking, hungering, looking, but not being able to hear, or not being able to see. There'll be a shortage, it says, of hearing of the Word of God. There's no shortage of it, but it's a shortage of hearing it. And we believe that God in His mercy and His goodness, there's no abundance of Him trying to get our attention or getting a hold of us. There's no shortage of that. It's bountiful. But yet there is a knowledge or a lack of hearing the Word of God. That's what I wanted to talk a little about this morning. We are in a spiritual... Man is a spirit. He has a soul. And we're in this world. This body that we live in is just a vehicle that we're part of. We're a living soul. And God is a spirit. And God is trying to unite us to His Spirit. And that call is going out to all men. From the very Genesis, in the very first part of it, it says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Even before there was any creation, God was moving upon the face of the deep, or the chaos that was in the world. God was moving across that, trying to bring it in to Himself. And that's the picture we get from the very beginning of what we see as the world is now. And that verse that talks about knowledge shall be increased. There's never been a time in this world where so much knowledge is available. They said a while back that it used to take thousands of years for what man knew to double. There's a whole chart about this that, and then after it doubled once, it took years and years, hundreds of years for it to double again. And then it got down to maybe 100 years and then 50 years. And I don't know just the whole process, but the rate that man increases his knowledge is at one point it was just a few months where it doubled again. Just immense amounts of knowledge increased. And we live in a time where a person doesn't have to have wisdom. They really don't even have to know very much, let alone being able to break it all down. I mean, you can put on your phone or your computer and type in and get the answer to any question you want. And if it doesn't come within 2 seconds, we're usually tapping our finger, wondering where it is. Knowledge is not the answer. Knowing all things is not what this is all about. That's what man is seeking after. There's a hunger for knowledge. It's not helping. It's not making man better. Just having knowledge and not being able to apply it is absolutely worthless. Just having knowledge causes more problems than it does good. And we just live in a time where knowledge is everywhere. We can know everything and still just be a wreck in our own lives. We have the Bible. And I think what has happened to the Bible is exactly what's happened with knowledge. Everybody has a Bible. Everyone knows what the Bible says. We go out and preach. It doesn't matter where we've ever gone preaching. Everyone that comes up and talks comes up trying to teach you what the Bible says. Everyone is an authority. Everyone is a teacher. Because they have all this knowledge. If knowledge was the answer, everyone would be way up there with God. Because that knowledge is there. It's all available. But the very knowledge, while it appears like that is good, you know, we want to get a Bible in everybody's hands. We want everybody, and while it appears that that is the way, when we look at the results of what that has done, has it been good? Look at all the religions in the world. There used to just be a couple of churches. Now there's how many? 40,000 or 50,000 or however many there is. Ever since, everybody got a Bible. We all have it figured out. And that's so confusing to so many people. Just having the knowledge isn't the answer. Like I said, that's why we can see that there's something missing. Just having knowledge is not the answer. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. Verse 18. We could just about start. This is just following his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And all the people were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And then he goes into the temple and cleanses it. Says, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Verse 13. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when he saw the chief priests and the scribes, verse 14, saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant. And he said to them, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you ever read out of the mouth of babes and infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself? Okay, here's the chief priests and the scribes. They saw the wonderful things that he had done, and they heard the cries of the children. He had just cleansed the temple. They had the knowledge. They had the knowledge. And he said, out of the mouths of babes and children, you've perfected praise. All of that Bible, the scribes and the Pharisees, the scribes would write the Bible out and they wouldn't even miss one little point, one little period, or they'd burn the thing. They were making it just perfect. They had the knowledge. But they missed Jesus. They rejected him. Now in the morning, verse 18, when he was returning to the city, he became hungry. Seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, no longer shall there ever be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. Jesus sees this world with all its knowledge. All the leaves, all the fruit, all the leaves, the nice big tree with all the knowledge. And he's hungry. What's he hungry for? What's he hungry for? We look at this the way it is today. The fruit tree, the fig tree, looked like it ought to be bearing fruit. It had everything it needed. And he said, no longer shall there ever be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. Seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, how did the fig tree wither all at once? And Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. This fig tree, representing knowledge. And one of these days, it'll all just die. There'll be nothing left but the Lord. Verse 23 then. When he entered the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Okay, here's a man going around healing people, giving sight to the blind. Whenever John the Baptist was in prison, John the Baptist heard about this man and he sent and said, is that Jesus or should we look for another, while he was in prison? And Jesus just sent back and said, after he said, watch, tell him you saw the blind healed, the lame walk, and the poor having the gospel preached to them. Go back and tell John those things. Do you think John was in, wonder where he got that authority? Wonder where he got that ability to do that? Is that what John thought? No. He believed because of what he saw and heard. Jesus said to them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from what source? Was from what source? From heaven or from men? Knowledge looks at what we know, looks at things at what we know. Where does that come from? How did that happen? We all know things today that people years ago never even dreamed of. We got to know why or where, how, when. How did it work? How does it fit? Jesus just said, where does the authority come from? From heaven or men? And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why do you not believe him? And if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet. And answering Jesus, they said, we do not know. He also said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Jesus was from God. The men were trying to figure out how he was doing all of this. And they couldn't. Even giving an answer that they thought they would give would have condemned them. By what authority do I do these things? People want to know about authority. I mean, there's one man that asks us all the time, about authority. Where does our authority come from? His argument is that the authority comes from the church that's been established from the very beginning. That's where authority is. Some people say, well, the authority is in the Bible. That's where the authority is. Well, the scribes and the Pharisees had the Bible, and they missed Jesus. They had the knowledge, and they missed Jesus. As hard for us to understand and accept and try to figure everything out, there's a spiritual being, there's a spiritual realm, there's a spiritual component in all of this. I think that's why Jesus talked whenever he said, you know, if you don't hear me, you can be forgiven. But if you miss, or if you blaspheme against the Spirit, there is no forgiveness. I think we can probably miss some of the things in the Bible. And Jesus even said of himself, you can miss me in that sense. And you can be forgiven. But if you miss the Spirit, there is no forgiveness. That just really unsettles us. So we have the tendency to either go really, really spiritual, think everything's the Spirit, God told me to do this, God told me to do that. Or we can just try to nail him down and say, this is what the Bible says, and that's just all there is to it. But Jesus asked him where the authority came from. Where is our authority? I think they all need to fit together. It all has to, the following the Spirit fits with what the Bible says. Following the Spirit fits with what Jesus says. It fits with being a part of a church. But we live in a day where if I've got the knowledge, that means I've got the authority. We don't have to listen to anybody. I know the answers. It's all up to me. So we stand on what we know and divide and divide and divide and divide, standing on my own authority. Jesus came in the flesh, God in the flesh, to try to teach us, to try to get us to see what God was trying to do in the Spirit, to try to show us who He was. And He heard from God. He walked and did. And the world missed Him. The religious world missed Him. Let's turn to let's see here. Look one place before we... Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. All things have been handed over to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone who comes whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Here we have Jesus saying that the only way that we can know the Father is that He reveals Himself to us. And yet the next verse He says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. We do not learn these things because we pick up a Bible and figure it out. We don't gain our knowledge just because we pick up a Bible and understand it. That's not the way it comes. Says, he who hears the Son, he who hears, has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. Let's go to I think it's Matthew 26, verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, "Why this waste?" This didn't fit all their plan. Even giving to the poor, saving up the money that Jesus had taught them to give and to help and to do. And here they're sitting at the house of Simon the leper, and this woman comes up after they've scrimped and saved, carried the money around so that they could help and give, and she broke this very expensive bottle and poured it on his head. And the disciples, we're not talking about the Pharisees, we're not talking about the Sadducees, we're not talking about the scribes, we're not talking about the Gentiles, we're talking about the disciples. Jesus' own disciples were indignant. What does that word mean to you? Indignant. They were mad. They were upset. What in the world is going on here? This doesn't fit even everything we've been hearing from you, Jesus. This doesn't fit the pattern. This doesn't go with our knowledge of what we've learned from you. We're your disciples. We've learned from you. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, "Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." Maybe that word could self-righteous. What do they call that word? Righteous indignation. That's what they felt. So they began to rebuke Jesus. Even his disciples, with all their knowledge, began to rebuke their authority. That's what knowledge does. Knowledge makes anybody who's read the Bible twice an authority, and they can stand up against anybody. These people walked with Jesus for a few years, and it wasn't long till they were standing up against Jesus. With righteous indignation, saying, "Lord, you're missing it. What are you doing?" Is that the spirit that the Lord had? But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you bother the woman? Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me." How quick we can be to rise up against our authority whenever someone's done something for Jesus. That's all we have. this authority that we're talking about here. That's all we have. Jesus said, look what they're doing. And the Pharisee says, that don't fit. Where does that authority come from? I don't care what they're doing. I want to know where his authority comes from. We're so quick to get so swelled up with pride because we've read the Bible a couple of times. And now we're going to be a teacher. We learn it, we study it. That's why they have colleges. You go learn it, you go study it, you hear about it all your life, and now you're an authority. Well, that's not what makes an authority with God. Jesus says it's those who hear and do. Oh yeah, the Bible says it, I'm doing it. Is that what he meant by that? Okay, the Bible said to do this, I'm just going to do it, so that makes me an authority on it. Is that what he means? The Pharisees had that down pretty good. It's he that hears what I'm saying and does it. That doesn't make us anything just by doing it. The Bible talks about the servant after he's done all that he was supposed to do. He said, I'm still an unprofitable servant. We don't do a few bad things and we become an authority and an expert and everybody ought to listen to us. Because I didn't do a bad thing or didn't do a few bad things. That isn't going to fly very far with God. Jesus talked about faith. Believing in me. Believing in me. We can say, well, yeah, I believe what Jesus said. I believe what I said. I can love my enemies. I won't take an oath. I'll always just sign a firm whenever they tell me to. I've got one wife. I don't commit adultery. I'm not laying up a bunch of treasure on this earth. Is that what faith is? Is just doing those things? Well, then the church is a whole lot bigger. Because there's quite a few people that live within that realm. Even out of the... There's just quite a few people live within that. But he talks about faith and trusting in him and being faithful to him and being loyal to him. You know, Polycarp, he is an old man. They brought him to the king and said, you just deny Jesus and I'll let you go. But if you don't, I'm going to feed you to the lions. And he said, I've served him for 80 years and he's never done me anything wrong. I'm not going to give up on him. Or 90 years or however long. I've served him all my life and I'm not going to give up. That's all it was. But there was a loyalty and a faithfulness there that was about. He was being true to Jesus. If we can't even be loyal and faithful and trust people that are right in front of us, how can we trust someone that we can't see? These disciples here, what in the world is going on? You're wasting this. And he said, why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. For burial. Truly I say unto you, wherever this gospel is preached, in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Here's faith. The Pharisees missed it all, and even the disciples missed it. His faithful, loyal disciples, right beside it, condemned this woman, and he said, what she has done is what's going to stand. And everywhere that this gospel is preached, they're going to talk about her faith. Not about how you keep the rules all just so-so, but where this gospel is preached, this gospel is a gospel of faith. Not just faith in the Bible, or faith in the New Testament, or faith in those things, but her faith in his faith in me, your faith in me, faith in God. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We stir and fluster about trying to do everything and trying to be successful, and we miss just trusting. We miss the things that are, all right, we've got so much knowledge trying to figure everything out when it's just right, really simple. What happens is we get knowledge and get puffed up, and then we begin seeing somebody else and ain't doing everything the way we think it ought to be done. And we start separating ourselves from God when we begin doing that. Separating ourselves from the faith when we begin doing that. Thinking that we're getting righter and getting holier and getting better and keeping ourselves pure from all those unclean things, when what we're doing is separating ourselves from God, separating ourselves from His kingdom. And our knowledge comes along and strengthens us in that, and bolsters us up and makes us feel a lot more comfortable about it. So we gain a little more knowledge, mortar up the wall, make it stronger, and God is on the outside of it, knocking, wanting to come in. This woman did this for Jesus, did this for Him. We're going to be judged on our faithfulness to the Lord, not on how well we performed our duties. Not on how we never messed up, but our faithfulness to Him. That's the part where this is a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual battle, and knowledge is of the flesh. Knowledge comforts us and fills us up, puffs us up. Knowledge puffeth up, the Bible says. The smarter we get, the more capable we become. Jesus said, be like a little child. We don't know something, we go start studying or figuring it out, trying. And then whenever He shows us something, instead of hearing Him, we're off somewhere else studying. People have studied this book for years and years and years and years and years. And it's a guide. It'll help us. God speaks through it. God gives us a framework. But the problem is we build the framework and then try to put God in it. Instead of letting God be the center of it and find ourselves growing within the framework. It's been a blessing to learn some about the early church and the early history. And even the Anabaptists and those faithful throughout history. And what's been the biggest blessing to me is I didn't know nothing about them when I started believing. When I repented and started just trusting the Lord instead of what I knew. And then as I began to learn some of the early church and the Anabaptists and all those, I thought, wow, I agree with them. There's a spirit there that goes along with it. And when I read the Bible, there's a spirit of faithfulness that you just applaud and you want to agree with. It wasn't a box that I tried to build. In fact, it's been more undoing, tearing down has been my biggest challenge. Our biggest challenge in following the Lord, so that we could just walk and trust. Be faithful. It wasn't because we had it all figured out that I said, oh, well, that's all figured out. I'm going to be a part of that. I think that's where we mess up. Getting it all figured out and then people joining what's figured out. That won't work. There's two worlds. There's one that hears Jesus, and there's one that figures everything out. The message, synthetic fruit. They try to build something and then fit within it. The Bible talks about speaking in tongues. So, well, we'll speak in tongues. So that way we'll be right with God. Instead of walking, listening, being faithful, and then producing fruit. Instead of trying to create it. Growing fruit out of life. Looks dark sometimes. They crucified Jesus for a reason. He didn't fit their mold. If you read a few verses here in John. Chapter 6. Verse 41. Therefore the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on that last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." What do you think that sounded like to those Jews? In their absolute arrogance, they thought he sounded arrogant. Who are they to determine him? And yet they felt like they could. And he said, "I have come down out of heaven. Do not grumble against yourselves, among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father draw him." What do you think that sounded like in their ears? They were rejecting him, and he was saying, "You can't even come to me unless the Father, Jehovah, lets you come to me." What did that sound like to them? And then he quoted, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who heard and has learned from the Father comes to me." What did that sound like to them? Here they were hating him, wanting to kill him, and he says, "If you've read your Bible, it says that everyone who hears God was going to come to me. It's going to hear me." "Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. I've seen him. You haven't. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life." They hated that. They were the authority, and they hated this. Do you think our challenge, do you think the early church, why do you think they were killed? Because they were of the same spirit that he was. And it challenged the authority. Not because they were arrogant, going around just challenging the authority, but their very being challenged the authority of this world. There was a battle here. A war. That he had to go through. Was it all spelled out and laid out and fit nice? No, it sure wasn't. The conflict was real. It was two worlds fighting against each other. Chapter 7. Verse 11 says, "So the Jews were seeking him at the feast and were saying, 'Where is he?' There was much grumbling among the crowds concerning him. Some were saying, 'He is a good man.' Others were saying, 'No, on the contrary, he leads the people astray.' Yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. But when it was now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up in the temple and began to teach. The Jews then were astonished, saying, "How has this man become learned, having never been educated?" So Jesus answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him." How did Mary, or this woman that broke this alabaster box, pour it on his head? Well, there were poor people all around. Why did she do that? And why did all of the others miss what she was doing? Why? Because she was hearing him who speaks from above. She believed in Jesus. She trusted him. She believed him. She was resting, trusting, following, instead of being all puffed up, knowing. She just trusted. We try to find rest and assurance in knowing instead of just resting and trusting in Him who has all things in His hands. We barely have the faith to even worry about tomorrow. Not to be worried about what's going to happen tomorrow to us. This woman took everything she had and broke it on his head. "I'll have nothing else." The woman with the two mites gave everything she had. The others just gave of their abundance. There's where your faith is. Lay it all out. Just give it to Him. And I'll guarantee you, no one will understand what you're doing except those who know. Jesus had a few that understood him. Moses was willing to forsake Pharaoh, willing to bear the reproach of the people of God. Sometimes the cross is just bearing the reproach of others. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. Trust in the Lord. That's one thing that is so easily just overlooked. And it is the heart and soul of Christianity, trusting in the Lord. We want to see it all played out. We want to see it all laid out. We want to understand everything. And he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understandings. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And he will direct your path. That means he'll spell it all out and tell you which way to turn everything. No. But he'll be the one directing where you go. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We can have the Bible, we can have our doctrines, we can have the teachings, we can have the church, we can have all of those things and think our authority comes from there and not have one word of faith, not have one drop of faith, not have one drop of faith. May the Lord add His blessings, grant us hearing ears and seeing eyes, trusting hearts, faithfulness. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We just ask that you'd help us to do your will, to bring glory and honor to you. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Question or
figuring it out and having it understood. This is where we are. This is where we stand. This is where I see that. Especially in the past, it's easy to see in the past. Right now, in the heart. In the past, it's I can sure see that. I went to the Mennonites. I thought, wow, now I'm the church. This is it. Now. And then we left that and thought, well, maybe charity's it. A little while, kind of same way there, but then it just seems like the Lord kept knocking those things away, and still is today. It's Him that we're walking. I mean, deny our tendency to try to box it up. To kill it, basically, and his way he looks at it, and to let it be alive. And that's what you said about loyalty. If Jesus were walking here right now, and it was at a time when one of these intervals in the scriptures were like this one time when the disciples asked him, or was at least questioning among themselves, why all this waste? when nobody else agreed with him, and even his own disciples, and had we been one of them, and they did, they were, at least 11 of them were loyal to him, but it was not without a struggle. And he blessed those that were loyal, even in their misgivings, their misunderstandings, all they knew is that this is a man that has the words of eternal life. That's all we know. And that they didn't know hardly anything, really. They were challenging on everything in it. And yet he blessed them. And later, he gave them greater understanding and the strength to stand his blessing. That's worth more to him than... I mean, he didn't come to start school. He could have set up a university. But he just came and called us.
Here 6 o'clock this evening. Brian Nolan send their greetings.
Well, what about the park? Where that park?
It's whatever you want to do. You're the. Is it yours? Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be all right.
I'm thinking that way.
Okay. All right. Lord bless you all.
Thy beauty and thy say.